Thanks, Ross. My name's James. I'm an addict. When I was using, I wouldn't have stayed here 5 minutes. I'd have gone. I'd have seen so many people. But when you come in here, you feel so much energy. This is the biggest meeting I've ever shared in front of. And instead of feeling scared, I feel great that there's so many other people here who have probably got the same sort of problems I've had and are in the right place to deal with them. You know, today, I'm nine years clean at the end of January, and it's a long time, and but I've got more gratitude than I've ever had in recovery. The early days, which were very difficult, the time when I was using and knew, realised I had a problem and didn't know how to deal with it, the time when I got introduced to people that could help me deal with it, all those key moments in my using and my recovery, none of the time, I've never felt more grateful than I do today. My marriage broke up about a year and a half ago, and even though I've had all that clean time, it's only in the last year when I've actually really felt clean. And you know, just briefly, really quickly, I thought growing up I had a pretty normal childhood. It was only kind of when I got here and I looked back at it, and I looked at my mum's mental illness and then her subsequent suicide and my parents' divorce, and there's a lot of stuff that I pushed inside because I thought that was normal. You know, the kind of shame of knowing your mum had gone in and out of a mental hospital, the same sort of hospital that you and me and all the other kids at school would use as a term of abuse for other kids. That sort of hurt and confusion you have when your parents split up. And then just the general alienation that I felt. And to cover all that up, I drank. And I drank as much as I could until I threw up, until I was full. And then when I came to London, I got a job in an industry where drugs was seen as something good, and you know, all the people that I admired were dead from drugs or drink, and or they were fucked from drugs and drink, and for a long, you know, that was my life. It was the only, because I felt really shit inside, my only identity that I gave myself was by being somebody who didn't fit in. And I remember being at a party in the crypt, wherever it is, down there, and being really nervous and thinking the only way I could make friends with people was by being aggressive. I remember chucking some glasses and bottles around and having a big fight out in the street. And to me, that's how, looking back on it, that's how insane I was. I am nervous. I would like to make friends. Therefore, I'll be aggressive and fight with people. It doesn't make sense. And, you know, when you talk about all the thing in the readings about, you know, trying to control the using, I gave up eating meat because I thought it was making me violent. And it took me about another five years of confrontation till I realised it was the drink and the drugs. But, you know, for me, in my line, what I did for a living, I was successful despite my drugs. And I thought, I was tricked. I thought that the drug use and the drinking was what made me successful, and that if I didn't do all that, I wouldn't be who I was, and I wouldn't have a standing amongst the people that I hung out with. Everybody that I associated with used drugs, and you know, the one mate that I had who didn't use drugs, who was a teacher, he drank. And what I feared when I got the chance to get clean was that my life would be boring, and yet I knew that my life was boring, and it was terrifying, and every day by about 4 or 5 o'clock I'd be drunk, and I didn't know where I was going to end up in 12 hours time, the next 4 or 5 o'clock. It felt like the tide coming in and taking me out. And getting into this fellowship gave me a route away from that side of my life. And now, and when I think about being, when I walk around London today, in my life, all it feels like this huge rucksack full of shit, full of lies, deceit, unmanageability, all the things that were a day-to-day reality of my using, never getting anywhere on time, being dishonest, or most of that has gone. You know, if I'm late for someone today, I don't concoct a fucking ridiculous string of lies. I just ring up and say, I'm really sorry I'm late, someone rang me up and I needed to talk to them because I fancy them. Or I didn't actually get involved in an accident and I had to put me cut, you know, whatever. And what I found was that by trying to be honest, a lot of the bullshit, the honesty was the simplicity of it all, that being honest stopped all the crap about being honest to myself and being honest to other people. That was a simple thing. And then the other key thing that I still use every day is just stop fucking worrying about the future and the what ifs and what if that happens. And I don't think about my higher power on a daily basis. I did when I was first getting clean. I used nature as my higher power. I used to get up every morning, look at this tree, and think, that's been around a lot longer than me. It's got to be better than me. It's going to be around a lot longer after than me. And thinking about it in that respect, I didn't have to deal with, you know, that ambiguity about God and spirituality, and it just became something that was part of my life. I don't think about a God. I just trust that it's going to be okay. And if I start worrying about what people think of me, or what happens if I do this, that, or the other, or what happens if I don't get any work next month, or, you know, these sorts of things, if I remind myself, well, stop fucking worrying about it, because you might get knocked down in the morning, or you know, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Those simple things are the things that make me feel that I can deal with my, you know, with being a parent, with earning a living, giving work to other people, trying to be a good friend, being a son, all the things that I'd spent a lot of time shirking and hiding from. And, you know, I talked to my sponsor a couple of years ago and I said, I feel really weird. And he said, what's wrong? I said, well, the other night when I was off with that person I shouldn't have been with, I felt really bad. And he said, well, you're getting a conscience. And that was kind of strange. And I do remember the moment when I started to realise that other people, when they were walking down the street, weren't thinking about me. They were thinking about themselves. And it wasn't that long ago. Especially, you know, around relationships. And, you know, because I don't drink and use, and I pretty much would use anything that was around, because I don't do that today, I've got some clarity in my head, and I've got the opportunity. The best thing that's happened to me in recovery is being a father. And the day I found out I was going to be a father, I was walking home to end my marriage, and I had to walk through the door with my news, and then my wife gave me her news. And you know, she still remembers I cried for an hour and then didn't tell her why I was crying. And that was a very tough period, you know, the sort of 9 months, or the period of time up to his birth, and then the period of time afterwards. Now, I know I couldn't have gone through any of that if I was using. I couldn't have been, I know other people have managed it, but I couldn't have been a parent and been using. And, you know, I don't think I was a very good parent for, you know, a year or so. And I was a rubbish husband. And, now, and all the fears I had about being, you know, I'm talking about this because it's the biggest challenge in my life, and you talk about the, you know, bridge to normal living, is that that is the greatest challenge and also the greatest reward for me, to have this little boy who I love, you know, I adore, and to try and be straight for him and keep it together and him, and having him, like having a relationship with a higher power, has managed to take me, you know, take some of the ego out of me, and put someone else first. Sitting here for an hour and a half tonight, couldn't have done that when I was using. Could never sit listening to someone else talking for 45 minutes. I was outside chatting to someone, you know, thinking, fucking hell, that's a long time. But I'm going to sit here and listen and enjoy it and learn something from it. I thought I knew everything. Like, I really did. I could not be told. And, you know, now I shut up and listen a little bit. And the other thing that I remember having real big fear about was that, you know, all those horrible places in Soho and all over the world where I was working, the disgusting places I end up in, supposedly in pursuit of an interesting time, which was just fucking boring, scary, repetitive, expensive, and soul-destroying. The sorts of people, interesting people with interesting stories, different experiences in their life from me, I've met them in these rooms. All the things that I thought, I wonder what it's like to do that, I wonder what it's like to that, I've sat and listened and heard people talk, tell stories and things that, you know, none of it's boring. And I've never ever been to a meeting where I've not walked away having got something from it, ever. Even the times when I haven't, I've only ever walked out of one meeting in 9 years from being thinking, I'm not listening to that. And as I said at the beginning, my life was so crippled with fear before that just coming in here had a run off. And I wouldn't have been able to confront it. And being clean, as well as, you know, the honesty in my life and thinking about other people in my life, the fear has gone. And, you know, things come into my head. I was thinking, I was reading the Just for Today at a meeting this morning, and I went within a second of thinking how it's important to have a relationship with my ex-wife, a good relationship so that our little boy has got a stable family, even if we're not together. I went from that, seconds later, envisaged punching her boyfriend's face in. So shit comes into my head all the time, but because I'm not fucked up, I'm not using, I can just ignore it. I can think, well, that fucking, get rid of that. I don't think, it doesn't sit in there and it doesn't revolve around and doesn't stay there. You know, walking in here, I've seen a lot of people I've known for a long time, and that's another thing that I get out of these meetings, is that when you hear somebody sharing honesty about their life, or when you go and talk to somebody, or when somebody comes and talks to you, you get a relationship which I haven't had anywhere else in my life. You know, I've always shared honestly about things, and I just assume it doesn't go out of the meeting. You know, I don't, you know, that's the hope, that it continues to work. And that relationship where you can know everything, know a lot about people, you don't even know their surname or what they do for a living or where they live, because you see them in these meetings, to me, it is, you know, one of the real, you know, it's one of the prizes of recovery, is that you can come somewhere like this and get rid of all your you know, get rid of those fears and actually hear strength in other people's stories. And that moment, and again, I can remember this for the first time, being in, it was an AA meeting, but I didn't know NA existed then, hearing, thinking, who the fuck are all these people? And then hearing a bloke as if he was reading my mind, reading from my experience. Even though he sounded different to me, he looked different, he was a different age, his obsession at that moment in time mirrored mine. And I think that, you know, when people who aren't in recovery, who maybe haven't even got a problem, but ask about it, you know, I always just come back to that thing of a problem shared, is a problem halved. And I can't think of a simpler way of explaining why this works, is that it is a fellowship, and there are people here that love you. And unfortunately, you don't always get that out there. So that's it. I'm a grateful addict, recovering addict. Okay, thank you.